Thanks for inviting me into your home, your long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed basement with the simulated wood paneling, electric fireplace, and the painting of dogs playing poker. Your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM, the very best in late-night talk radio. I'm Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie. And tonight, this morning, I'm coming to you live from Old Thornhill Village, just north of Toronto. Not a red-letter day for Canada. I know many of you have been following the Freedom Convoy up in Ottawa today. Most of the trucks were towed away, about 20 vehicles, and at least 100 people were arrested in a bid to put an end to this three-week protest. A number of people appeared to have been seriously injured when mounted police charged into the crowd of unarmed protesters. A number of protesters could be heard telling the heavily armed police, "We love you. Come join us. Don't do this." However, it should be pointed out that there were a number of protesters also yelling obscenities at police, and reports that a protester or protesters hurled a bicycle towards the feet of one of the horses in an apparent attempt to injure it. Parliament was to meet today to debate the continuation of the Emergency Act, previously known as the War Measures Act, but Parliament was suspended due to the police action. Meanwhile, the Deputy Prime Minister, who is also the Finance Minister, Chrystia Freeland, has instructed banks to freeze personal and corporate accounts belonging to people who participated in the protest or supported the protesters. So we head into the long weekend. Monday is a holiday here, family day. We head into the long weekend with the country divided like never before. Still under the Emergencies Act, it will likely be Tuesday before Parliament votes on whether to continue the Emergencies Act. So a sad day. I'm not sure where we go as a country from here, but the sun will rise. This too shall pass. However, the latest poll from Meru Public Opinion, conducted Feb 14th and 15th, found my country in a very negative mood. The poll found that 66% fear for the future of Canada, while 62% say they have lost faith in the ability of the country to keep peace, order, and good government in place. Those fearing for the future of Canada live in Quebec, where 69% feel that way. They're followed by all three prairie provinces, where the sentiment is held by 68%, compared to 66% in British Columbia, 64% here in Ontario, and 58% in Atlantic Canada. Just more than half of Canadians, 52%, believe the country is beyond broken and that it's just not viable in the way it is currently constituted and being governed. That sentiment, highest in Alberta at 66%, followed by Quebec at 54%. So that's where my country is tonight, the true North, strong and free. I've been covering this story on my daily afternoon show here in the Greater Toronto Area for weeks and every day. And of course, the events that eventually led to the massive trucker protests, the vaccine mandates, I've been talking about that for nearly a year. Truth be told, friends, I could use a break. We can all use a break. There is so much tension and anxiety out there right now. Can we escape for 4 hours? Shall we? We have open lines coming up in the second half, and I'm going to be asking you for your stories of synchronicity and strange coincidences, which, as you'll discover, ties into the discussion we'll launch in the first half. Also in open lines, there's a story up on the Coast to Coast website that I'll be telling you more about a little bit later, but it involves the sighting of a strange-looking creature in Pennsylvania. And that's inspired an open lines topic. I'll be asking for your encounters with the unusual or with unusual looking creatures? Was it a chupacabra or just a coyote with mange? Coming up first, here's where the strange synchronicities come in. The mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. Lockwood was a 19th century American lawyer, writer, and novelist whose works were obscure until they were given renewed attention in 2017 after the election of President Donald Trump. Lockwood's 1896 novel, 1900, or The Last President, has become the focus of renewed attention, particularly online following the riot at the Capitol building on January 6th because of its closing pages describing a similar event. The story follows a president from New York and even mentions a Fifth Avenue hotel in the city where Trump Tower now stands. Fifth Avenue was a famous address even then. Two of Lockwood's other books, The Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog Bulger, and Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey, feature a character named Baron Trump. Of course, the president's youngest son is named Baron, who travels to Russia and meets a man called Don Fum. Was Ingersoll Lockwood a time traveler? Was he channeling a message from someone in the future? Is this an example of the phenomenon known as predictive programming? Did Ingersoll have a gift of precognition? Authors, researchers Todd Wood and Walter Bosley join me next to delve into the mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come warm yourself by the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Walter Bosley spent 20 years in U.S. national security and has now been a specialty publisher approaching 20 years. Walter's first nonfiction book was an investigation into the esoteric engineering of Disneyland. He has since written several more on subjects ranging from occult serial murders, the 19th century airship mysteries, MKUltra and the U.S. Air Force, lost cities in South America, breakaway civilizations, Templar vaults in America, and the mystery of Napoleon Bonaparte and more. He's appeared on Ancient Aliens, Beyond Belief, and National Park Mysteries. Todd Wood has always been interested in the strange and bizarre. He started getting interested in the Ingersoll Lockwood Baron Trump stories from before the turn of the 20th century, around 2016, when he started doing his own research from newspaper archives, mostly. And together, Todd Wood and Walter Bosley have penned The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. Todd, Walter, both of you, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Terrific. Hey, thank you. All things considered.
Good to be here.
That's wonderful. Good.
How did you two meet and discover that you were both fascinated by the mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood?
Well, I kind of started getting into it, looking into the whole Ingersoll Lockwood thing, and then I discovered Walter Bosley before I started getting into the Ingersoll Lockwood thing because of the 2015 Secret Space Program Conference in Texas. And his presentation, and then I found his live stream, and we just sort of started corresponding through the chat, and then the phone, and one thing sort of led to another, and due to my vision issues, I have macular degeneration, he helped me do the book, and here we are today.
And it is fascinating that if it weren't for the election of Donald Trump and in 2016, Ingersoll Lockwood would probably have remained in total obscurity. Do we know who sort of rediscovered Ingersoll Lockwood in the aftermath of the 2016 election?
Personally, I'm not sure. I just sort of heard about it online, and then I sort of started looking into it from there.
Yeah, I
all right.
The whole thing kind of emerged from a combined effort of, you know, more than, you know how these things happen. Sometimes more than one person can just hit that zeitgeist of something, and it just emerged.
So either of you or both of you combined, give listeners a brief biographical sketch of Ingersoll Lockwood. In other words, who was he before he wrote these obscure novels?
Well, he was a diplomat. He was consul to the Kingdom of Hanover from 1862 to 1865. He was appointed to that position by Abraham Lincoln. He was one of the youngest diplomats. He was a Yale graduate. Speaking of Skull and Bones, right? Yale.
Right.
He was a lawyer, and he was an author.
So the novels in question, and there are three that we're going to focus on, obviously. So we have his first one, Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog. Is it Bulger or Bulger? That was written in 1889. And then Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey from 1893. And then, of course, the dystopian novel 1900, or The Last President, which was written in 1896. Let's talk about the first two for a moment. Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog Bulger and Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. Were these at all inspired by Frank Baum's The Wizard of Oz, or there was the Adventures of Baron von Munchausen? Were these, were his works inspired by those, or did they come before?
I believe they came before. I believe that Ingersoll Lockwood's books inspired Frank Baum's books. Isn't that correct, Walter?
Yeah, that's how I recall it. It was interesting. Lockwood's books, like other authors, there was this genre that was emerging where there were some very similar things that I think all these similar things were indeed influenced by Baron Munchausen, of course. And Baum, he came when that was already, you know, going midstream. In fact, around 1900, I believe, is when he released his first Wizard of Oz book. His first Oz book, I should say. Lockwood was, ahead of the curve on that one compared to Baum.
Right. And I guess, as you write in your book, The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, critics at the time, I don't know, they kind of were dismissive of these works. They called them somewhat tedious. But what we're really focusing on here tonight, obviously, are these intersections of or points of interest relating to what is being depicted in these novels and what, of course, occurred almost 100 years later with President Trump and also his son, Baron Trump. So if you could just briefly give us some of examples of how the works of Ingersoll Lockwood in the Travels and Adventure of Little Baron Trump and Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey, how they seem to be prescient of President Donald Trump and his son, Baron.
Well, other than the obvious, one thing is that Baron Trump takes a journey to Russia, of all places, in the Marvelous Underground Adventure book, to the Ural Mountains. He finds a... He goes and he's on a journey. He's looking for a world within worlds, and he sort of finds that inside the Ural Mountains. And as you know, as we talked about on your show, Donald Trump's affinity for Eastern European women, amongst other things,
the finer things in life. Of course, that part in those stories could also have predicted the troubles that Donald Trump had with all the turmoil about, you know, his relationship with today's Russia, the false accusations about that relationship with Russia, and all that stuff that's, kind of a big pot-boiling issue during his time in office. So it's thematically predictive in that sense.
Right. And the ancestry or the lineage of Ingersoll Lockwood's Baron Trump, does that also mirror Donald Trump's lineage?
I'm going to pass this one to Walter. I think this is more in his wheelhouse than me.
Well, what's interesting about Donald Trump is that, you know, of course, his mother was from Scotland. And there, of course, is the interesting Templar history with Scotland. And there is also that issue that not only has particular researchers pointed out that just about every president of the United States or several of them were related to each other. Apparently, all of them have a royal ancestor. And I believe in most cases, it's the one guy. It's a particular king. But so you have possibly through his mother that link to a dynasty, you know, a monarchy of sorts. And you also have the hint of, you know, is there a Templar connection in Donald Trump's past? And we, of course, know that through Freemasonry, the lore and the legend is that the United States was really founded by Templar-guided principles, if not Templars themselves. So that's definitely in the mix. And so I think in the stories, the fact that, you know, his title is Baron, not his proper name, you know, again, this is another hint. It's as if Lockwood saw Trump obliquely. And what we have to do is recognize how to interpret what's in the Lockwood books. And I think, as Todd said earlier, other than the obvious, I think most of it is pretty obvious when you look at it from the thematic, oblique manner.
Right. I'm just looking at some of the, again, some of the specific parallels, because President Trump's ancestry, at least on his father's side, I think his paternal grandfather came from Germany.
Yes.
In the Lockwood story, isn't Baron Trump born in Germany?
He's actually born in Africa, in Somalia, on the mountains of the moon.
Ah, all right. But there is a German connection here, I think, somewhere, is there not?
Yeah, there is. There's a, in his family, there's a knight. The knight was, that didn't have any arms in the book, right? And he was a Teutonic knight. And that might be the German connection.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
And suggesting, you know, what we were talking about with a Templar connection, because the Teutonic Knights, of course, were the Germanic Holy Roman Empire counterpart to the Templars.
And again, the child hero, Baron Trump, in the Ingersoll Lockwood story, how did he make his money? Is there any parallel there to President Trump?
Well, you got me stumped because I actually don't remember.
Other than the family, of course, being wealthy and being of title means land, usually, right? And
right.
Trump is real estate. So there's the, you know, the little thematic connection there once again.
All right, we're heading into the break here at the bottom of the hour. Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, co-authors, researchers of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Lockwood's interest in a couple of other writers, namely Jules Verne and Jonathan Swift, and why that's important. And also, we'll introduce listeners to perhaps the most mysterious character, even more mysterious than Ingersoll Lockwood, and that is the illustrator of these books, who actually sketched an incredible likeness of Barron Trump 100 years before the birth of Donald Trump's youngest son, Barron Trump, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Sitting in for George Norrie. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. Astronomers have discovered the largest radio galaxy ever, stretching at least 16 million light years through space, new research shows. The galaxy named Alcyoneus, after the son of Ouranos, I should know that, that's a Greek word, the Greek primordial god in the sky, was discovered about 3 billion light years from Earth by a stroke of luck. According from a statement from Leiden University in the Netherlands, radio galaxies house supermassive black holes at their cores. As matter falls into the black hole, it releases energy in the form of two radio jets from opposite sides from the galaxy's center, also known as an active galactic nucleus. Using data from the Low Frequency Array network of radio telescopes located across Europe, researchers detected two massive plasma plumes emitted from a seemingly normal supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy. Measuring at least 16 million light years in length, these two jet streams stretch more than 100 Milky Ways in diameter, representing the largest known structure of galactic origin, according to the statement. Wow. You can read more about that in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. Back to my conversation with Todd Wood and Walter Bosley as we explore the mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, co-authors of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. And the book really explores or considers the more fantastical possibilities for why and how this mysterious Ingersoll Lockwood was able to foresee in some way the presidency of Donald Trump and his son, Barron Trump. Was he a time traveler? Was he receiving knowledge from some secret society? Is this an example of predictive programming? Did Ingersoll Lockwood have the gift of precognition? We should spend a few moments also talking about the third book, called 1900, or The Last President, which was written in 1896. And hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure. Let me, if I could get Walter or Todd to quickly summarize what happened or what happens in the book 1900, The Last President.
Sure. In 1900, The Last President, and populist president wins, Bryan, who is actually William Jennings Bryan, the real life Democratic candidate in the actual 1896 election and the 1900 election, ironically enough. He wins the presidency, and then the whole country just sort of falls apart. It basically, New York falls to socialism, Chicago falls to socialism, there's evil and upheaval in the streets, there's gangs, there's the Capitol building, someone plants an explosive device at the Capitol building, it just, everything goes wonky, I guess you could say. In 1900, the last president, that the country split up into three parts.
What happens at the Capitol, everything falls apart in the third year of this particular president's term. And the big riot at the Capitol where there's an explosion, a bomb that goes off, happens at the end, and it happens 3 years into that president's term. So with this book, actually, when you look at the details, and we discuss this in detail in the book, of course, it's more predictive of the administration that came after Trump. If you're looking at, you know, the events and how they translate to today's events. So it's prescient, precognitive in a way that we're still watching play out.
Right, right. Yeah, the parallels here are just so eerie and striking. And, you know, I suppose that there are some, obviously, there are some prosaic explanations as to why Ingersoll Lockwood was able to write a book about a Barron Trump and the events that unfold in the book 1900 or The Last President. I mean, it could have just been dumb luck. But you explore, again, some of the more fantastical possibilities here, the less prosaic explanations involving things like time travel. But let me begin by asking you about Lockwood's interest in a couple of science fiction writers, well, one in particular, Jules Verne. Why is that important? Why is the connection to Jules Verne so important?
Walter, I'll let you take this one.
Oh, okay. Well, Jules Verne is rather famously known for being very predictive of technologies that came, you know, just not long after his lifetime, of course. Submarines, going to the moon, and more specifically, in the case of the going to the moon, it's the multi-stage rocket and these methods, which actually in real life inspired the people who made them happen. When they were little kids, they read the works of Verne. So in Verne's case, it probably is, as you say, more prosaic. But Verne has this interesting reputation that he might have been guided by this mysterious organization called the Société Angélique, the Angelic Society, which is one of these shadowy, we don't know much about it, these murky organizations that were string pullers behind the scenes, and somehow they were affecting civilization and influencing civilization through various sources, one of them being Jules Verne. In other words, hey, Jules, you might consider, you know, this kind of technology or that kind of story or something to get him to depict these things that they wanted to happen. And so it's a really interesting part of the whole Jules Verne experience is this theory that perhaps this was so, that he was influenced by some secret organization.
Is it possible, were Lockwood and Jules Verne contemporaries? Is it possible that Lockwood may have met Jules Verne while he was a diplomat in Europe?
It's very possible. Oh, yeah. I imagine Ingersoll Lockwood met a lot of different types of people. It wouldn't surprise me
while he was in Europe. Yes, of course, it's possible. And, of course, he was certainly a reader and student of Verne, if you will.
And you also talk about Jonathan Swift and Gulliver's Travels, which sort of like Lockwood's Travels and Adventures of Barron Trump and Barron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey, again, you know, it kind of is very fantastical, otherworldly, and so forth. Why do you bring up Jonathan Swift as another example, along with Jules Verne, or make this interesting connection between the works of Jonathan Swift and Ingersoll Lockwood?
Well, that is because of the very interesting little bit in Gulliver's Travels where Swift is specifically talking about the Sky Island of Laputia. And in the story, one of the mad scientists predict or identifies two moons, two satellites around the planet Mars. And the relative, worked out mathematically, the relative position that's identified in Swift's novel, Gulliver's Travels, is included in the story. But here's what's interesting, is Gulliver's Travels was a couple of centuries before Phobos and Deimos, the actual moons of Mars, were discovered astronomically and confirmed, and the relative positioning that's worked out mathematically by Swift in Gulliver's Travels is shockingly close to what the actual positions are as far as the diameter and the distance from the center of Mars to their orbit. And, you know, people have to ask, how in the heck did Jonathan Swift know this? Now, of course, it's controversial. You have your critics that say, oh, it was just a guess, or, oh, there were things going around, you know, with astronomy at the time. But in our opinion, it remains a valid question. How in the heck did Jonathan Swift know something like this and know it in detail? Was he also privy to hidden knowledge or protected knowledge, much like Jules Verne was suspected to be? And what this does is it gives us a background that, okay, what we're wondering about Ingersoll Lockwood and how he saw things to come, you know, was there this tradition out there of certain authors becoming privy, certain people becoming privy to special knowledge?
And in other words, they were perhaps selected by some secretive group like the Society Angelique or some other group in order to publish this material, to put it out there and into the public consciousness?
Sure. Yeah, that's the possibility that we had to look at, the question that we had to try and, you know, give some suggestion of an answer to.
Well, there is a group that Lockwood belonged to in New York that you bring up in the book called the Titans. I mean, how closely does this group, the Titans, resemble the Society Angelique in Europe?
That's an interesting question. Well, I would say, you know, that they probably do have their similarities, but as far as the Titans go themselves, they were an organized group. They believed themselves to be the descendants of the demigods sent by Jupiter to Mount Olympus to hold up the sky. From my research and Walter's research, it appears that these Titans were practicing some sort of ceremonial magic. Now, the interesting thing about the Titans themselves is in order to become a Titan, you had to be at least 6'2". You know, Donald Trump was 6'2", and so was Nikola Tesla was 6'2". The Titans met maybe four times a year, and rich industrialists, they belonged to the Titans, and a whole bunch of authors and artists, they've also belonged to the Titans.
You speculate. Go ahead. Go ahead, Walter.
Oh, sorry. The Titans are going to be the primary focus of our third book in the series. So we're hoping to be able to answer these questions, you know, once we finish that track of research, that thread.
Right. You also speculate that maybe, you know, among the wealthy industrialists that belonged to the secretive group called the Titans, and Lockwood was a member, was the man who founded the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump earned his degree.
Yes, indeed. There's another curious and interesting connection directly to Ingersoll Lockwood that it's one of those things that makes you wonder exactly who was seeing ahead, or was the very connection itself through the Titans in this case, was that opening Lockwood up to data, you know, out there? Some people call it the ether, some people call it the Akashic record, whatever that database out there, you know, in the cosmos is. Could this what appears otherwise to be a tenuous connection to that academy, that school that eventually Donald Trump will go to school at, is this a kind of a connecting point, a crystallization that opens one up to data.
That's one of the possibilities. Right. I mean, you speculate in the book that if Joseph Wharton, again, the man who founded the Wharton School, where Donald Trump earned his degree, if Joseph Wharton was, in fact, a member of the secretive group in New York called the Titans, and he rubbed shoulders with Ingersoll Lockwood, perhaps Joseph Wharton had in his library Ingersoll Lockwood's books. Could a young Donald Trump, as a student, have stumbled across these books, have seen the eerie similarities, and decided to name his son Barron based on the works, sort of fulfilling the prophecy?
In the book we go into three possibilities, right, of how this could have happened, and the most down-to-earth one is that very possibility there, that Donald Trump simply was exposed to these Lockwood books when he was a kid, you know, in either at the school library or even in his home library. We don't know, but the books having pre-existed, you know, him, it's a possibility that has to be considered, that exactly that's why he chose his son's name. The really strange part, though, is the illustration that looks so uncannily like the child that would be his youngest son.
That's precisely right. It's possible that Donald Trump stumbled onto Ingersoll Lockwood's books in the library at Wharton, but decided to name his son Barron after the character. But that doesn't explain the incredible likeness of the illustrations of Barron Trump by Charles Howard Johnson, who we'll talk about coming up. As we approach the top of the hour, we'll get into this illustrator, Charles Howard Johnson. It doesn't explain the likeness in the illustrations of a Barron Trump 100 years before Donald Trump's youngest son was born. It doesn't explain much, actually, aside from the name Barron Trump. We'll pick this up on the other side. Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, co-authors and researchers of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, right here on Coast to Coast AM.